Wake up! Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
This is the show. This is going to be the one they remember.
We will have special basketball guests.
Tune in from 5:30 to 10. That's when we're on. And the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage will be our home. We'll be joined by Billy Donovan.
Can we have hard conversations?
And Arturis Karnišovas.
Good morning, Mike and Dave. How's everything?
They of the Bulls will be joining us during the 8 o'clock hour. And it's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And by Schmaltz Deli, spreading deli goodness everywhere. So we'll be talking to Billy and AK.
Very excited.
Can't you tell? I'm very happy.
And I mean, think about it. Billy was a great player back in the day. AK played in Lithuania. He's a guy that played good college ball. You're from Indiana. We got a lot of basketball stuff.
I'm from Indiana.
He's an Indiana boy.
That's my basketball credentials.
I threw you in with them.
I appreciate that.
That was hilarious.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
This group is really good.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Hiccup there. First hiccup of the morning.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, that's all right. Here we go.
How about them White Sox?
How about them White Sox?
Happy Wednesday. Break up the White Sox.
Yes. We're here to talk Bulls. We're going to welcome in Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnišovas and a studio audience. But we got to start with the White Sox.
Well,
that was one amusing night at Guaranteed Rate Field.
It was great. I had a buddy who called me up, and he had an extra ticket, and he was prodding me to go. And I'm like, why would I lose a night's sleep going there watching that? Oh, it's history. You got to go for the history. And then I sat at home and I watched the rain delay, and I thought of this clown.
You watched the rain delay?
I did. I had
the
TV on. You sat
through the hour of a rain delay.
And I was just chuckling to myself that he was getting rained upon, and then sure enough, they come back and they rally and they win.
And people who stayed did see history.
Denied.
Well, in a way, no, it was realized. That was the first time in 94 games,
they've come back.
That the White Sox came back and won a game after trailing after the seventh inning. So they were rewarded not for why they maybe went to the ballpark, but they waited it out, and they were rewarded with, dare I say, the best night of the White Sox season.
that was the best night of the season. No, it isn't.
It was.
It was the wettest night of the season.
It was the wettest.
It was not the best night of the season. They haven't had any best nights of the season. It was good that they just, it was very White Sox that they ruined the party, right? I mean, that's all it was.
Well,
it was just a bunch of guys that somehow spoiled the party.
The
Beautiful.
Angels White Soxed the White Sox.
The Angels are pretty bad.
They are very bad. And dropping a fly ball is the perfect way that the White Sox take advantage of the opportunity to win a game after trailing again in the late innings.
I don't even remember the guy's name. I didn't write it down. But that guy hit his first career home run, and then he cost them the game by dropping a pop-up.
Lopez.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lopez.
Yeah, the second baseman.
He drops
the fly ball. He hit a homer earlier, and it almost was the perfect White Sox ending, though. You knew that there was that one play that was a microcosm of the entire season, and it was the infield pop-up that fell between four White Sox fielders. The pitcher, the catcher, the third baseman, the first baseman. Nobody called it. Nobody caught it. It falls. It's a single. And you know that, and I was watching that, and you're thinking, like,
that's how you lose.
That's going to be – it didn't lead to a run.
No.
But that would be the play that all the highlight shows show, you know, focused on, said the White Sox lost their 121st victory, much the way they lost the first 120, and they see the ball fall between four White Sox fielders. But it's a moot point. They won.
Yeah.
They rallied.
Yeah.
Grady Sizemore.
Yeah. Five
more. Momentum.
All you need.
Five all you
more.
Need.
That's right. You can really spoil the party.
They're going to sweep the Angels now. That's what Ozzy said.
I mean, even if you sweep the Angels, that you're still going to lose out. I mean, it's the Sox are so bad. And this record was lost months ago. So this idea that now we're waiting for history. And, I, you know, again, I got another buddy who's kind of like, hey, do you know anyone going to the game? I want to get a ticket. Just to have the ticket, because it's a moment. And I'm like, do they even use tickets anymore? Like, I, the last few times I've gone to a baseball game, I've had something on my device. I have not had, like,
I don't know that I've seen a hard ticket in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they maybe use them. Does anybody here have
seasons?
Experience with a hard ticket? I don't think so.
They don't send you the block of tickets anymore.
Yeah,
I know.
But you don't go there. But you get something when you go. You bring something home from the experience. You buy one of your $1.21 campfire milkshakes.
Yeah. You bring back 6 pounds.
Did they try that? Did they go with our promotion idea?
I don't know.
$1.21 gets you a campfire milkshake and a hot dog.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they
121
I
cents.
I think they're trying to get themselves some money.
So what happens tonight then? They go through the whole thing all over. It was dog day.
They were eating the dogs. No, that didn't happen. That would have been perfect though.
Well, I wondered if they would have canceled dog night because of the history that was, you know, there to be made.
They had to because of the rain. The dogs couldn't run the track, right? The dogs couldn't go out on the field.
And
there were a lot of disappointed canines.
A lot of disappointed dogs. Plus, imagine the smell at the ballpark. Anyone that has a dog, wet dog smell, that'll ruin a lot of nights. Mm. So it was just a bad night, but a great night for the White Sox. I do maintain it was the highlight of the season.
A great night for the White Sox?
Yes, it was.
I can't get on board with that.
They came back. They did something last night they had not done all season long.
More of an indictment than a celebration, in one reporter's opinion, if I may.
Well, they go back at it tonight, so we'll see if they can make history tonight.
I kind of hope they wait for the afternoon game. Is that weird?
I hope they wait until next. I hope they don't break it. I hope now they go on a winning streak to end the season. I know that's unlikely. Yeah. I know it's improbable. But tonight they have Davis Martin's thrown tonight against the Angels again. And tomorrow, if they do it tomorrow,
it's
Garrett Crochet.
Isn't it the
afternoon? Garrett Crochet. It's a day game.
Be perfect.
I don't want Garrett Crochet to go home and go into the offseason on a downer. You want him to go out on a good note so he says goodbye and, like, you know, he remembers the last night.
Just another
as a White Sox.
Former White Sox pitcher who's going to be vying for a Cy Young somewhere.
Like Chris Sale, Rodon, Dylan Cease,
Lopez,
Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's a rotation.
Yeah.
Michael Kopech can get the save. Yep. Yikes. A lot of good ex-White Sox pitchers all around.
It's been a year.
Hey, speaking of ex-White Sox, before we get off of this.
Please.
Did you see where Eloy Jimenez got optioned?
Yeah, that bummed me out a little bit. Because didn't he say that it was going to be great to play postseason baseball?
I don't think he's going to be playing postseason baseball.
No, I think he's in AAA.
I don't think he's going to make the playoff roster.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That's not exactly going out on a limb.
At least he didn't get Kimbrelled.
How did that?
Rid of Kimbrell. They caught him.
They did Kimbrell him. I think
they sent him down.
He accepted the assignment apparently because he wants to stay in the organization. But that is a rapid fall from grace. I know that he was a walking injury here, and the guy that was just always hurt.
Hi, Mom. Nice
guy. But he was always happy.
I mean, you had to like the guy, right? Even if he couldn't
play. Easy guy to like. Hard guy to figure out because he just injuries kept getting in the way.
Hi, Mom.
But look at how quickly some of these. I don't mean to torture you this morning. This is like the
have at it.
It's the aftermath of the greatest night of the White Sox season.
Who cares about my childhood hopes and dreams?
Eloy falls off the map. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu. What happens
baseball
to these guys?
Yeah.
3 years ago, these were some of the – that core was something that made you smile. Now it's like,
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, Abreu is probably like in his early 50s. I mean, God knows how old he really is. Tim is just – you got to be befuddled by
that. That's a mystery. That's a big mystery.
It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Sitting in a box.
And there last night, they could have gone to Yoan Moncada. He's another guy.
Yeah. Why didn't they go to Yoan Moncada? I mean,
they didn't need him. They came back anyway.
They're afraid he might actually return. Don't they have an option on his services for like $23
million?
They can
buy him out for $5 million, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the
most
likely.
You'd
rather do that than have to pick up another year.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So they're going to move on, and they're going to go into the offseason with a winning streak.
I think Ozzy offered him a gig on his Venezuelan team, didn't he?
They did. Ozzy would like Yoan Moncada to play for him in the Winter League. There's been no there's nothing about that is reciprocal yet.
No.
We'll find out.
No. No interest. He doesn't have any interest.
Ozzy was happy last night, though. That's good.
Well, they won. I mean, it's fun to see them win once every, what? Was that 36 or 37? How many games did they win? 36?
They're 37 now. And
37?
Yeah, and 120, I believe.
That's great.
They're sitting on 120 losses.
There you go. That's pretty good. So there's 5 games left? Is it 6? How many games are left?
5 games left.
There are 5 games left?
Yeah.
Man, they're holding on, man. Come on. You can do this. What if they didn't break the record? Would anyone care?
Well, now that's what I've been saying. They're going to go in. They could go on a winning streak now. They're hot. No. They're coming in
their
hot.
Their longest winning streak of the year is 3 games, right?
Yeah. I think 3 in a row.
So they have to do that a couple times? No. I don't think so. Because they've already won one. So that'd be 6 game winning streak? No.
The White Sox are now 37 and 120. Yeah, so 5 games left. And I think tonight they go at it again. We usually do talk to Ozzy on a Wednesday. We're going to miss that today because we have bigger plans. No offense, Ozzy, but we have people coming We've moved on from baseball.
From the White Sox anyway.
We didn't expect to be coming in here celebrating or
a victory.
Talking about a White Sox victory.
No, you guys were. Dustin had the knife sharpened. He was ready to have his fun. The perfidious one was excited at the idea
It's more fun to talk about this than it is to talk about the history that they almost made. We would not still be talking about.
This is only interesting because they just postponed it. That's all.
Yeah.
They've just ruined the party, and that's the White Sox 2024 season. So I'm very pleased, and I'm really happy that my friend got caught in the rain, and am I embittered? Yes, definitely. And I feel like if someone's calling me to go to a Sox game, they're doing so.
You should go tonight.
No, I'm never. Not a chance. What? Now, are you getting on board? I just feel like it's somebody like shooting peanut shells at you while they're asking you a question. Like, what? Like, I don't know that you're having at me. This is funny to you. Why don't you go out there?
I don't find it funny. It's historic.
It's
historic.
It's
slightly
it's
amusing.
Futility. There's nothing historic about it.
I don't know if you noticed there's a lot of futility around Chicago sports these days.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bears, so they get back to work today.
AKA Billy Donovan will be here at 8 o'clock, but don't let me
interrupt.
I didn't
say that. I didn't make that connection. Although it will be fun to hear from the brain trust of the Bulls.
I agree.
About what they expect this year. That's a fair question, and I think still something that is yet to be defined, or at least from their perspective, because it's been a very different summer. You have, the moves that were made. DeMar DeRozan is gone. You trade Alex Caruso. You bring in Josh Giddey. You draft Matas Bezelis, and you look at what they have now, and Zach LaVine's coming back.
Yeah,
and he's healthy.
I think that's very interesting.
And so how do you fit all that into the equation, and what does that solve for? If you're doing basketball algebra, solving for X, what's X?
Well, here's the problem, and I think we'll get into this in the pick six because we're going to try to predict their season record. But I believe the problem is that they are kind of operating at dual purpose. So it's about player development, and it's about restarting, and it's about building up a team. It's also, you got a couple of players that may not be here for the entirety of the season. Now, I don't know how we're going to talk about that idea with Billy and AK, but is your mind wrapped around the idea that the Bulls may come out with a different team than they'll have after the trade deadline?
That's a fair topic of conversation.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know how we're going to hey, did you enjoy your offseason? What the hell are you guys going to do? Are you trying to protect the top 10 pick? I just think that it's a little awkward because they've got guys in Zach LaVine, rumored to be traded, right? Nikolai Vukovic, does he have a future with this organization? He's got an expiring contract with this organization. So I would imagine guys like that, do you need to build up their value in order to trade them. Are you going to trade them? Will your team, you know, do you start the season with the young guys you're talking about and try to work player development and think about how you're going to integrate the veterans? Or do you try to win as many games as you can with your veteran players and try to build up their value and then work on player
It's
development?
The Bulls. It's the most entertaining basketball theater there is in town. Like, it's dinner theater, isn't
yeah,
it? So I
it
think
is.
That they're probably going to at least say publicly that, and maybe even internally, that they're going to try to put an entertaining product on the court that's competitive, that can win games. Nobody in their right mind in today's, even as obvious as it is going to say, well, this is going to be a developmental season, and if we end up in the bottom 10 like we should and protect that draft pick, that will be okay with us. We would kill them for that.
Yeah. No, I know what they can and can't say. I'm just saying, when I sit back and think, the fine folks in Las Vegas, Nevada, I believe, have put their over-under at 27.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Am I to feel like they're going to try to win 25 and then they're going to rebuild? Or are they going to be incorporating all these bodies out onto the court?
It seems low. That seems low to me.
Well, I think it seems low because I think the Eastern Conference is...
There's a lot to factor in there.
I mean, I think Brooklyn is picked to win 19.5 games. I mean, that's really bad. That team's going to be really bad. It looks like Toronto doesn't look very good. You know, Detroit is still pretty bad. I think there's a lot of mediocrity in the Eastern Conference in particular.
That's why you have an opportunity
right.
to win more
yes.
than you may want to if you were really honest about it and they want to protect that pick.
Right.
They may be better than that. So they may be in a situation where they end up unloading a guy like Zach, but
right.
they need to prove that he can play before they can unload him. So it is a delicate balance to strike,
yep.
and certainly maybe ground they don't want to cover publicly, but they have to be having these conversations. It's a reality of the NBA. It's a reality
yep.
of pro sports, really.
Well, and I mean, you know, there's ways of losing and being bad without being the worst team ever, right? I think we've learned that.
I don't think the Wall Street Journal is going to be coming here in April to document the Bulls'
right.
record futility. No.
But
they will be probably out on the outside looking in from the playoff picture. I would be surprised if they're in the play-in.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think that's the goal this time out. But I think they could win 30-something games. I mean, I think they could be in the early 30s.
I think they could be better than we think or some people yep. are expecting. Patrick Williams comes in. The thing that is interesting, too,
Kobe.
From a basketball perspective, Kobe White's going to take another step.
Yeah.
You take DeMar DeRozan out of the equation and out of the mix. Those, it may empower a guy like Patrick Williams. You may allow a guy like Zach LaVine to take over more naturally than he did when DeMar was here. There are a lot of things that could happen optimistically. You don't know what Josh Giddey is going to do. Is he going to continue the momentum that was obvious during the Olympics? He's a pretty good all-around player who just was on the – it was a numbers game in Oklahoma City, and he wasn't part of the rotation any longer, so he was expendable. But he's a talented player, talented young player. So is this season about development or trying to flirt with a playoff spot? Be interested to hear the
yeah.
way they're going to approach this starting today.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good, fun conversation, and we'll get into a lot of different topics with them. You threatened to bring up the Bears, and I quickly shifted gears.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But we still have a game coming up on Sunday that is a really interesting game because you've got a damaged opponent coming in. And if the Bears are getting better, if the Bears are worth anything, this is a game they almost need to win just to turn their season around a little bit. You know, as we well know, you know, lose one, everyone does it, lose two, getting dangerous, lose three, you got to react.
You can't
lose three in a row
if they lose
in an NFL season.
Sunday at Soldier Field, then
yeah.
we are back to where we started before yep. the offseason momentum began,
mm-hmm.
which goes back to last year coming out of that season. Even 7-10, you're like, what are they doing?
Well,
where are they headed?
It would
Who
be
are they
the
going
equivalent of
in?
An 0-4 start, even if they've already won a game. It would be much like a year ago when they came out and weren't prepared for the season to start. If they were to lose this week.
If they lose three in a row after the build-up and the hype, and
yeah.
obviously we were a big part of that, and they start out 1-3, Yeah, it would be the pin to the balloon. The hype train would stop. All of the things that you could say would apply because you'd be disappointed. And you'd be disappointed in the readiness. You'd be disappointed in the coaching staff. You might be even disappointed in the quarterback. I don't know. But if you lose three in a row, you have reason to be disappointed in everything.
Yeah, and it's a big game for the Rams as well. Even though they are beaten up, they're without three starting offensive linemen. They're missing two, both their wide receivers, great players. Neither available in this game. And you would think with the coach, with the quarterback, they could find a way. So you got to be careful. Yeah, but the Bears should play much better defense at home.
If Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are on the team flight, then the Rams are going to have a chance, and they're going to be a challenge for that Bears defense.
Yeah.
Now the Bears defense should be able to.
Be nice to see them playing from a lead.
They should be able to do the things to the Rams offense that they did to the Titans. You know, the Rams, the Bears defense has not given up more than 21 points in the last nine games. It's the longest streak in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But against the Colts, it was, you know, they could have been better. They could have been. They obviously could have been better, but it wasn't the reason they lost. But they're going to have to go out and win this game. That's the way they have to approach it. They might even have to score because the offense is so.
They lost that game by 5 points. They passed. They attempted a 56-yard field goal, which would have been a career high for the kicker. They could have run a play. Now, well, they can't run. What am I saying? But they could have attempted a play to gain a couple yards, had a makeable field goal. They also got a 12-yard loss on 4th-and-1. If you kick a field goal there, I'm just saying, you know, when asked about it, the coach said, we're hunting touchdowns. We're not interested in field goals. Let me tell you something. You get an extra couple field goals, you'd have won that game, and maybe you'd be more interested in field goals.
Yeah, but if he had kicked the field goal on 4th-and-goal on the 1, we've been saying, why in the world don't you trust anything about your offense to get you 3 feet when you need it?
And then he should have said, well, then they would have run this stretch play. You wouldn't believe.
Have you met my offensive coordinator? Exactly. I know he would have said that. But, we would have killed him for
I'm just saying.
Metrics,
I wouldn't have killed him if they won. I'm just saying, I think that they are at a position where they ought to start desperately getting points and not hunting touchdowns.
I don't disagree with that typically. I think it's everything is situational. And with the Bears in that situation, when you had 1st-and-goal at the 4, you got a mentality. You got to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
The 56-yarder from Santos, I didn't have a problem with that decision to kick a field goal at that point.
It was the play before. If they pick up 3 yards there, that's a makeable field goal.
Yeah, that's fair because that was the scramble.
And he threw a 40, I don't know, he threw the ball into the end zone.
But with the roof closed indoors, ideal conditions, Cairo Santos, given the way that the trends are going in the NFL too, I did not have a problem with them trying a 56-yard field goal.
But I mean, you know, it was a career high. And he did come up short with it. I mean, there is a reason that you have like an idea. Normally, the kicker will tell the special teams coordinator, hey, I'm good from here. And it's probably, and I doubt it was even 55. I mean, they went a couple yards more than he's ever kicked. That's all.
But then he hit from 53, right?
But like I said, gained 3 yards on you know, third down, and then you kick a field goal.
Easy to say now, yeah. But I think that everything went wrong. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
But they had a narrow loss, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And they passed on points at different points because they're hunting touchdowns, which when you end up with 15 points, you got to ask yourself, are we hunting the right animal, right? I mean, don't we need to just score whenever we can?
Well, when you score 15 points against that team, you ask yourself a lot of questions.
Well, that's right. That's it. All right. We got the pick six. We're going to get into all this stuff. There's a lot to talk about with all of our wonderful teams in town and some that aren't that good. But we'll break it down for you next. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. The pick six is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com like I did to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. Caleb Williams said in the postgame Sunday that he and Rome Odunze have been staying after practice for about 10 extra throws to work on their timing together. Did the extra work contribute to the breakout game this past Sunday? The two connected six times, 110 yards, and a fourth quarter score. Are they just getting started?
Boy, you sure hope so. I mean, I like the idea that they're staying after practice and working on stuff, and I like the idea that Williams talked about finding a rhythm in the passing game and being able to time up how, you know, think about it. Rome Odunze is a big guy. He's a fast guy. He can run down the field. He can catch contested passes. You need to get that timing worked out. It's a pity that couldn't happen during the offseason, but there you have it. So the fact that the two of them have this time together after practice and they're just doing it as a couple of rookies drafted in the top 10 together, yeah, I hope they're just getting started. I also wonder if DJ Moore is, he said after the game that he felt like he was something of a distraction. In other words, they were using him as a way of getting the ball more to Rome. And I think it worked. It definitely 110 yards, six catches, and the touchdown in the fourth quarter. They had a 47-yard connection, so they're working well together. But it's got to be more consistent. You got to have that kind of production with less attempts, right? Isn't it as simple as that?
Well, if you're looking for something positive to take out of Sunday, that was it. The two guys drafted in the top 10 connected as many times as they did, and it can only go up from here, hopefully.
I guess. I think that's doesn't really – if you're DJ Moore and you see that, I do wonder about what you think every time you read and see and hear about how great the chemistry is between the two rookies. And I do wonder if over time that takes a toll mentally because – you know, he isn't a diva. He's not diva more, but he is becoming more and more decoy more.
Wow.
He's a guy that, you know, he acknowledged it. So he's not the focal point of this passing game. And you can see it easily evolving into Rome Odunze being the guy who is the number one wide receiver just because of the chemistry that continues to build and grow with Caleb Williams. And that is a great thing. And there's no downside to it. I do think that it's interesting that, you know, the focus – and I guess this is just our first question, and it won't be the focus right of the week, but the focus of the quarterback and the wide receiver spending more time after practice to get better on their chemistry after they did connect for six catches and six receptions for 110 yards, I think that it also that leans into this whole identity issue that we're going to talk about later. The identity of the Bears is that they are a team that wants to spend extra time throwing it around because they're going to be a team that throws it around. I would rather hear anecdotal evidence of Nate Davis staying with Kieran Amagaji afterward on a blocking sled. That would give the Bears some sort of identity that, you know what, that's the chemistry you want to develop. That's what's missing from this offense. Rome Odunze absolutely had a fabulous day. Would have liked to see him come down with maybe one more catch, that maybe that interception.
Yeah.
If that's Davante Adams, does he come down with that catch? Those are the standards you want to hold him to. That's the kind of thing you want to see from him. So this is really good stuff. The chemistry they're developing, I do wonder how long that goes before Keenan Allen and DJ Moore say, hey, we're ready to run too.
I think Keenan Allen is a different situation because his contract is up at the end of the year. DJ just got $110 million on a four-year extension.
Yeah.
So that should buy you a little leeway, right? We're gonna be a decoy for a few games. I don't think you can complain, but I understand.
He's not going to complain.
No.
And if he's going to complain,
guy,
he's going to do it on Monday at 8 o'clock.
Oh, that he will come on,
yes,
and complain to us.
Yeah.
Lay out the
it's a good question.
What do you want to hear from Caleb Williams later today when he meets the media in light of Jaden Daniels' breakout game on Monday Night Football, Justin Fields' 3-0 start as a Steeler, and his own, Caleb's, turnovers in the past two games? Would you rather see or hear Williams acknowledge the noise, or do you want him to tune it out?
What a tough week for Bears fans. You've got Justin Fields 3-0. You've got the reality that Jaden Daniels is the hottest quarterback in the NFL right now. And, oh, by the way, the Seattle Seahawks don't miss Shane Waldron. They're 3-0 without him. and maybe you draw your own conclusions, but there was a lot of noise. There's a lot of stuff that could come up today when Caleb Williams gets behind the microphone, but I do want to hear him acknowledge none of it. I do think that he should probably just say he can only worry about things that he can control, and he's going to control those controllables, and that is what you want to hear from your quarterback anytime. I'd like to hear him explain what's on the wristband. Now that he's wearing the wristband and everybody's making such a big deal about the wristband, is there more than just help on the wristband? Because
911.
Exactly. Because every pass play is an emergency. So I think he's going to have to handle himself as composed as we're used to seeing him handle himself, hearing him handle himself. But control the controllables. I don't want to hear him like, you know, we all have the examples and we get triggered by, you know, Mitch saying turn the TVs off and however Justin Fields dealt with it. This is a new quarterback. It is a new era, as we keep saying. And he'll handle things in his own way. But I hope he doesn't get drawn in or sucked into the noise and have to address it, because that's our job, to create it, to acknowledge it, and to, you know, talk about it. But I don't think that Caleb Williams needs any part of it.
Will he even be asked about, Grammy, will a reporter use those names specifically to him? I think that's an interesting, will it even get brought up? I mean, somebody like Mark Potash maybe, but otherwise I don't see anybody up there bringing those guys up by name. Hey, did you watch Monday Night Football?
Well, let's ask Weider at 7:25. Yeah. I think they should. That's a fair question.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. I think you should. I just think it's different. It's to me, it's even more different now than when you guys were there on a daily basis. And I could be wrong. It won't be the first time, not the last time. Here's what I want to hear him say.
Are you calling them soft? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just...
Or are you insulting us?
No,
I just
neither.
Can't follow.
Well, I'm usually always insulting you, right? But I just think it's different when you work with these people. As much as they're together, you have to maintain a professional relationship.
Right.
And I think sometimes you're worried, especially with Caleb Williams. They're just starting to build a relationship with him.
But he there's can nothing handle that. It's
yeah.
All off
I don't think he. I don't think he can.
There's
I'm
nothing
just
unprofessional
curious.
About asking him about the number two overall pick in the draft, playing better than he is right now.
I agree. Here, I'll bet. I would wager, since we like to talk wagering a little bit, that only one of the two names will be mentioned. I will be shocked if both Jaden Daniels and Justin Fields' names are specifically brought up to him. But that's just part of the question. I want to hear him say, I've got to protect the ball. I cannot turn the ball. I have to cherish this ball. I have to love this ball. I cannot get rid of the ball. Yeah. Also, I want him to admit, Molly, you and I talked about this, and to me it was the biggest play of the game. He had an opening. He could have ran it 25 yards. Instead, he sailed it through the end zone. Santos had a lineup for that 56-yard field goal. He runs 10 yards and does the water slide. Santos nails that field goal. The game is just different. Why is he afraid to run the ball?
Might have hurt himself on the slide.
Why is he afraid to run
Never
the ball?
Know.
I think he wants to. He's hunting touchdowns to answer the question. What do I want him to say? I want him to say that Jaden Daniels is running a college offense and everyone knows it. I mean, I'd love to hear him just kind of go off on it. I don't think I'm gonna. Just for a story, wouldn't that be something special? By all accounts, the Redskins, at least, the Washington football team, or the Commanders, I guess they're called, they are claiming that they would have taken Jaden Daniels had they had the number one overall pick.
That's easy to claim now.
I'm just saying they're claiming it. And I would love to get his reaction to that.
Yeah.
You want to know what I want to hear?
That would be awesome. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but that, I mean, you would gobble that up.
Hometown kid.
You would gobble that up.
There's no way they would have passed on Caleb Williams.
They claim that. And you're right.
Garbage.
They're claiming it now. But there have been insults to Jaden Daniels that he is running a college offense.
Yeah.
And, hey, Justin, would you like to run the college offense? I'd be very curious to know what he thinks of Cliff Kingsbury doing what he's doing with
right.
that kid, and how would that have worked if he were here, that kind of thing. I don't think we'll get any of that. I think if you watched him in the post game, he is a very composed individual. He is saying the right thing. He's going out of his way to say the right thing, even when he's complimenting things, and he's careful not to inadvertently kind of compliment one guy at the risk of another. So he's very careful in what he's saying. He's had a lot of good media training, and I expect to hear that today.
Oh boy, that's a tough question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, not today, but tomorrow. Have you spent much time considering what Brad Biggs told us yesterday, namely that NFL teams are 23-144 since 2015 when attempting 50 or more passes in a game? Do you think the Bears knew that statistic?
It didn't appear so, right? I mean, the Bears abandoned the run pretty quickly in that game. They had some success with Roschon Johnson, and they abandoned him pretty quickly. I think a lot of the things that I heard yesterday stayed with me. That statistic was like a rock in my shoe. I couldn't get away from it. But something that Dave Wannstedt said also really triggered me, and he said that that Khalil Herbert, they hadn't used him in the game, and then they brought him in for short yardage. They brought him in and ran him three times, once on a direct snap at the goal line. And he talked about how running backs need to get lathered up and need to have some carries. And you had just gotten a first down with Roschon Johnson. Why wasn't he? He seems more the inside the tackles runner than does Khalil Herbert, and certainly DeAndre Swift. Why wasn't he the guy that was running in short yardage situation? That bothered the heck out of me, and that stayed with me yesterday. But yeah, I need to know more about that statistic. When you get to 50, is that the drop dead point? Is everybody winning until you throw the 50th pass? Could you stop? Hey, we're at 49. No more passes. Could you conceivably, would that work?
I think even 40 sounds like a lot. But
40 sounds like a lot. I agree. You should be throwing no more than 30-something attempts. Run the damn ball.
I think it's a great stat. It's a great tidbit. And that's one of the things that Brad brings to us each week. A great number. But here. Did they know that? No, they didn't know to go for two when down five. So they didn't. They definitely didn't know that. I mean, if you
want to get to that, though,
can we?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that should have been. I mean, they got caught up like a high school team that because Roma Dunze and Kayla Williams connected for a first touchdown pass.
That's on them. That's on those two.
Caleb Williams should have been going like this. He should have been
exactly.
going to the sideline.
They
he
were arguing
like
about
this.
Who gets to keep the ball.
I was joking. It was a big
but,
yeah.
but you know what?
Thing.
Flus deserves blame for that, and he's gotten a lot of it. But so does Caleb Williams. He's the quarterback.
He's
you
the leader.
Think Patrick Mahomes would have done that? You think Josh Allen would have done that? How about Joe Burrow? No. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I love you. Still love Joe Burrow.
I still love Joe Burrow.
He's the last man.
No, I still love Joe Burrow. All right, Biggsy doubled down on that. After the show, he texted me this: 23-141 in regulation games. It's 23-141 since 2015. That teams that have that's the record for teams that have thrown 50 or more passes. 41 of those 141 losses have been by two touchdowns or more, 14 or more points. So not only do you get beat that often, but you get blown out. Often, don't throw 50 passes. If the Bears throw 50 passes again this year, something has gone terribly wrong. I can't imagine sitting here on a Monday morning talking about, oh boy, the Bears threw 54 passes and won the game 27-25 or whatever.
Well, the very fact that you're throwing, you know, you're throwing to score, right? So that indicates, that doesn't surprise me, the 41 teams losing by double digits. Why else would you keep throwing?
Well, I think the Bears have to be more aware of it than they appeared to be against the Colts, and they have to be more aware of what they're doing in the midst of doing it. And I think that, we kid about the two-point conversion issue, but I think it speaks to this whole idea. The Bears lack such awareness on game day, and this is not the team that has represented itself through three games as, you know, nobody's going to accuse the Bears of being the smartest team in the league. Not when they're looking at 52 pass attempts, not when they're looking at going for, needed to burn a timeout instead of going for two because they were busy celebrating or the coach was thinking about what he's going to call in the next defensive series because he's doing too much on the sideline. This is something that they have to have ingrained in their psyche, their football psyche, and be smarter, be better, and you can avoid these kind of situations.
So what will it be next week? You know, last week it was they blew two challenges. This week it's the dumb arse, you know, time out for no reason. What will it be next?
Do you know how many different answers there could be to that question?
Something new and exciting.
Two different questions there between the next 6 weeks and then in the season.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He's here at 7:25. Which non-Bears QB do you think the Bears fans will pay closer attention to this year? Number two overall selection, Jaden Daniels of the Commanders, or the Bears cast-off, Justin Fields with the Steelers. He's 3-0. Do you think either quarterback's success will make you feel differently about Caleb Williams' season?
I really think that I'll answer this different than probably most Bears fans will answer this. I think that if Justin Fields leads the Steelers to a playoff berth, and Caleb Williams is the quarterback of a 7-10 Bears team, there will be a season-long conversation about if the Bears did the right thing. And I think that's probably going to be more valid and sustainable or lasting, whether you like it or not. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably the quarterback that most people will fixate on or focus on. Because let's face it, the last time we saw Justin Fields in Chicago, people were chanting his name. And so he was a hard guy for a lot of people to let go of, even now, especially now. I think the Jaden Daniels comparison is one of those things that's just going to follow him throughout the course of their careers, respectively. The Justin Fields stuff will wear off eventually, but not yet, not this soon. Right now, I think Justin Fields is at the forefront of most Bears fans' minds. Jaden Daniels scares the heck out of Bears fans because he's maybe running a high school or college offense, but he's running it well. And he's running it expertly. So I think that will be something that always going to be a point of comparison. But Justin Fields is a guy I think that could make everything that Caleb Williams does kind of with an asterisk and put into that kind of context.
Well, Molly, as you reminded us all yesterday, the Bears never even talked to Jaden Daniels. He wasn't really even on their radar. So I get a Bears fan thinking about it, but you shouldn't think of something that was never going to be. Justin Fields was here. So I think in a landslide, it's Justin Fields. Now, of course, you're going to pay attention, especially when these two teams play each other at the end of October. I think the 27th of October, the Bears are at the Commanders. You know, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb if Jaden Daniels wins that game and looks better, doesn't turn the ball over, has a higher completion percentage, all those types of things. But Justin Fields is potentially the one that got away.
Well, that's the answer. I mean, he was here. Right? And he wasn't the one who got away. He was the one who was given away. They didn't get anything for him. I mean, maybe they'll end up with a fourth-round pick rather than a sixth-round pick. And even Mike Tomlin didn't seem to commit to that yesterday. Did you hear Tomlin? He's still talking about Russell Wilson. He had the most bizarre answer when asked if he was ready to name Fields the starting quarterback permanently. He was like, oh, there's myriad decisions. And,
perfect.
You know, you can't.
Perfect.
He
handled it perfectly.
I thought he's like, I don't make a decision until I have to. It made it sound, I understand he wants to keep both guys engaged, but it made it sound like it's all tentative. And the minute this guy turns the ball over, he had a pick last week.
It is.
One more and you're done, son.
It's tentative.
I know. He's treating him he's not trying to coddle Justin Fields in any way, right? He is definitely making the kid earn it week in, week out. Maybe that's why they're winning.
Yep.
They got the Colts next. I got a feeling they're going to run the ball against the Colts. I think maybe the quarterback will run the ball. There'll be the old Wilson enema given to the Colts this weekend.
Now, they could run an option against the Colts and get away with it.
Oh, they could win with that play. Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be fascinating to follow what happens with Justin Fields and his career, period, end of story. I've said this before, you know, I get it. If you want somebody that can throw the football and you want somebody that is going to win a Super Bowl, you're probably looking for an upgrade. But I have never seen anybody make those kinds of runs in an NFL game. You are not supposed to be able to run 80 yards down the field, through people, around people, all the rest of it. It was amazing to behold when he was here.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Well, we know whose voice that was. How bemused were you to hear White Sox GM Chris Getz say on Tuesday before the game that interim manager Grady Sizemore will now be considered for the job on a permanent basis? Why do you believe there's been a reversal from comments made back in August? What about our guy Bruce Levine mentioning Dodgers first base coach Clayton McCullough? Which of the two do you prefer and why?
I got to tell you, I mean, this Sox season has been just the most horrible, brutal thing to watch and to witness. The idea that they even came into the year with Pedro Grifol, how that guy got hired to begin with, how he took a team that was like a 500 team and turned him into 100 losses, and then whatever the heck happened this year, and how he lasted as long as he did. You know, Grady Sizemore has been kind of fine. I don't have a real problem with him. When they promoted him, they made a point to say that this is an interim job only. He's not going to be up for the managerial job. I thought they were waiting on Skip Schumacher. What happened? Did he suddenly realize
he's going to take a better job?
That there's only 8 first class seats on the plane? Did he not know that? Did he spit out his coffee?
He's not sitting in coach.
Decide he's not going to Chicago. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, now you're talking about a guy, Clayton McCullough. I don't know enough about him. I like the fact that I don't know anything about him, believe it or not. Just as long as I don't know anything, I'm happy. I worry that this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience in the job, similar to Grady Sizemore. I mean, whatever they do, it's going to end up being the wrong move. I've got very little faith in Jerry Reinsdorf, Chris Getz, anybody connected to the Southside team right now.
At least they're open-minded.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Well, I think the biggest issue with all of this is the reversal of comments made in August. If Chris Getz is going to be out in front and the guy in charge, he didn't need to say that Grady Sizemore wasn't a candidate when he went ahead and made those comments. He didn't need to do that. There was no reason. And we think we talked
Mike
about...
Mike Tomlin wouldn't have done it.
Right, Mike Tomlin wouldn't have done it. Right. Exactly right. Mike Thomas wouldn't have done it. Grady Sizemore... But I would love to know more. Who are the pool of candidates? You know, since it's anybody in the major leagues that's in a uniform is a candidate. Okay, great. I mean, that's... This many people, right? Mully just made the Manziel money sign, right?
Whoever comes cheap.
But Clayton McCullough, okay, could we try to make a comparison? So the Cubs had Brandon Hyde. He was the first base coach when they were doing well. Then he takes the Orioles job. But how long is it taking Brandon Hyde to get the Orioles to the postseason?
So you need a Cubs comp?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm just using it as an example. Like, how many first base coaches end up being managers, I guess, is my point.
You don't know.
You don't know. I honestly thought from a PR standpoint, like, mm-hmm. Willie Harris, a former Sox, mm-hmm. third base coach in Chicago, would that make any kind of sense? I just don't understand why
I think they should hire somebody who's done the job before. Clayton McCullough is not a terrible choice. Comes from a winning organization. He does have minor league managing experience, so that would be a positive. I don't know that you're going to get anybody that is going to relish the job necessarily, because you're looking at a 100-loss season next year. Who knows what you're looking at the year after that? So if you sign a 3 or 4 year contract, you have some maybe security, but who's going to give a new manager who's unproven a 4 or 5 year contract? Probably not Jerry Reinsdorf. Probably not him. So good name, Clayton McCullough. Bruce mentioned it. John Greenberg had mentioned it back when they fired Pedro Grifol. I really don't care what Grady Sizemore was told then and what he's being told now. I don't think he wants – I don't think he's a serious candidate for the role. If he comes back, you know what's going on here. They want to pay him – he doesn't need the money. Heck, he was working for $15 an hour. He may be working for $25 now. Who knows? And he may get a raise up to $30 an hour.
If he offers to pay them, he definitely get the job.
I think that what you want is somebody who has done it before, ideally. I would bring in an executive who has done something before, even to be Chris Getz's boss. That's not a slight to Chris Getz, but he is doing this for the first time. What the White Sox lack as much as anything is executive infrastructure. They need to build up their baseball front office and get some credibility back. You do that by hiring somebody like Kim Ng, like somebody who's won at another organization, to bring those ideas, to bring that structure to Chicago. Then you hire a manager with experience, somebody like Schumacher if he wants the job. David Bell is on the street after being mm-hmm. the manager of the Reds, who did a pretty good job there. David Ross is still without a job. I would call all three of those guys, gauge their interest, be willing to pay them what they're worth, and move on.
No, I'm going to finish the question. The question is this.
That is Casey Johnson. He will be here in studio with Mully and Haw and you at 7:40. What is Zach LaVine's role on the Bulls this season? LaVine told The Athletic he would not stand in the way of development of a young player. So how differently will Billy Donovan handle LaVine this year? Is he still the first option on offense?
Well, I think he's got to be the first because that's the way that he plays naturally. Zach LaVine is a guy that if he is here, I know that people will cringe at his presence, but this is like his 10th year, isn't it? He's been in the NBA for a decade. Yep. He started when he was 19 years old. He may be the most overlooked, underappreciated, disrespected, really good player that we have seen come through Chicago. Name another guy that has done as well as Zach LaVine has done, not only on the court, but with his... He's signed some pretty good contracts. He's making some pretty good money.
Yeah.
And he's constantly questioned, constantly doubted. And I get it. But he was branded not a winning player. I get it. Now he's healthy. Now he's back. Do you think he's going to give up shots because so Coby White can develop? Maybe. But if you're down one, you got one possession with 5.4 seconds left and an out-of-bounds play, who do you want taking the shot if you're Billy Donovan? Probably Zach LaVine. Probably Zach, right? So I think, yeah, good gesture. He's going to say the right things. He's been a guy who typically does say the right things. I know we got a little bit of a snafu with the agent forcing the trade and wanting the deal. We get that. But he's a pro, and I think he's going to represent himself like a professional.
With all due respect, though, when you say branded, he earned that. He is a loser based on his record. The teams he has played on are losing teams, not branded.
You just called Zach LaVine a loser.
No.
I mean, what you're saying is that at one point in his career, he was the losingest player in the league.
That's a fact.
Yes, because he had been with Minnesota and then came to Chicago before there were any
victims. That doesn't sound as bad as calling him a loser.
But he wasn't branded that. But yeah, I mean, he was not branded that.
All-star, Olympian, pretty good player. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and he's made a ton of money, so he gets criticized because his teams aren't winning. That's the problem. But he should be the number one option. The Bulls should want him to be the number one option because you want to trade this guy and you want to be able to get as much as you can for him. So he needs to be scoring 25-plus points a game, hitting big shots when that moment is there for him to make the shot. He's the guy you want to have the ball in his hand in all big moments so that you can trade and get the most back for him.
You know, I understand DeMar DeRozan was considered a guy that was more of a one-dimensional player, that he didn't play great defense, and that he spent too much time on the floor, whatever it might be. But the fact of the matter is, he was always in the top five, if not higher, as clutch player in the NBA. That was the guy that made shots to win games at the end. I'll be very curious to see if that role now is Zach's. And I've said this before. They've talked about trading him. They've talked about having a rough relationship with him. He opted for surgery last year. He didn't have to have it. He opted out, and we thought he was going to be traded in the offseason. I don't know what his trade value is. I don't know if he needs to rehab his reputation. I'm with you, David. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's been a good player. But I'm going to be very curious to see how they use him. And I think they're going to have to start him in order to build up and rehab him in order to then trade him, because he does make a lot of money and because they are in a rebuild. But I also think that if you brought him off the bench, you might be able to do that. I just don't know that he'd go with it.
I don't know if he'd go with that.
I just don't think he would.
I don't think he would go with that.
If he and Vooch were team two coming into the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you increase his trade value by making him a sub.
Yeah, I don't think
you do
either.
It's an interesting idea.
It would be curious to see how they choose to use him and what they have to say
bristle.
About that.
Would you bristle? I'd bristle.
I bristle about everything.
I know.
So why would that be different? We're going to get to the extra point next. We got a good one. We're going to make our predictions. And I believe I see some movement on the breakfast front. So everybody here
Excellent.
Is going to be very happy. You listening at home and probably very angry with us that we're having such a good time. But that's life. That's it. Just get on board. We'll be right back with the extra point. Mullion Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, here we go with the extra point in honor of our 8 a.m. guest, Billy Donovan and AK, here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. Can you please predict how many wins the Bulls will have this season? Vegas has it around 27.5. Are you going over or under 27.5 wins for the Bulls?
Boy, that strikes me as pretty low. I don't think that the Bulls are going to be that bad unless they are intentionally that bad. And I don't think they want to do that. That's not the Bulls' way of – I don't think they're going to look at this roster and say, oh, okay, they're going to be a 25-win team. There's a lot of talent on this roster. I look at the roster, though, and I don't know how they're going to guard anybody, especially bigs. They got rid of Andre Drummond. Who's going to defend the rim? Who is the rim protector here? I don't know. It's not Vooch. He's the guy that is who he is at this stage of his career. And offensively, he gives you a lot. Defensively, he gives you nothing. So he's a 33-year-old big guy that I don't know who else you're going to look at for inside help defensively. And he's going to get worn out because of the just reality. So the Bulls are going to have problems defensively. Who scores and takes the big shots, that'll work itself out. I think offensively they'll be fine. Billy Donovan teams, I think, will find a way to get the most out of this roster. Patrick Williams will take a step forward. DeMar DeRozan not being here will hurt, but it will allow other people to maybe progress. Guys like Kobe White he'll take another step. Zach LaVine, what is his role moving forward? Will he be here at the end of the year? I think the Bulls are probably going to win 34 games. If I'm going to predict right now, I take the over, and I think they win 34.
Wow.
Well, we hear from guys like Joe Fortenbaugh, who will be here on Friday at 7:40, about shopping around for the numbers, right? So this number is 27.5. So I happen to go to my Circus Sports Illinois app. They've got it at 28.5. One game, but that's how tight this stuff is, right? I agree with you, David. I think it's over that number. I got the Bulls winning 30 games this year. 30.
Hmm. Yeah, I would be I think 34 is a lot, honestly. I just think if they're saying 27, 28 to 29, that might be a little bit higher. Now, in fairness, there are some awful teams in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to play them. They're going to be playing Toronto and Washington and Charlotte and the Nets. Boy, the Nets are going to be terrible, the Brooklyn Nets. So I think there are some – Detroit should be bad, right? I mean, there could be six or seven teams, one of which is the Bulls, that will be the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. I think it's much more difficult if you're in the Western Conference, but in the Eastern Conference, I will give them 32 wins.
32?
Okay,
that's
good.
Fine.
Right?
You
it's
got 32, I got 34. I think neither one of us are over our skis. Last year at this time, I was a little over my skis about the Bulls because you go into the season, there was a little more optimism. There's a little more realism right now.
Yes.
I think when it comes to the Bulls and what to expect because of the moves they made in the offseason. And trading Alex Caruso is going to compromise them defensively. Getting rid of DeMar DeRozan is going to make the last possession type of events more suspenseful than maybe you'd like them to. You don't have anybody. I think Zach LaVine steps into that void. I think Kobe White continues to emerge. I'm very, very curious about what the Bulls have in Matas Bozelas, the first-round draft pick, and Josh Giddey, because those two guys, they're going to be up, they're going to be down. They're going to be consistently inconsistent, because that's what young players are. But I want to know how much we figure Giddey is going to be the point guard and everything's going to run through him. How much time will Bozelas get, and how early will he get it?
Is there any chance that he starts in the G League?
I hope not.
Okay.
That's a great question for the guys that we have coming in at 8 o'clock. But I hope not.
Right.
Even though he is so young, he's a teenager. He's a guy, though, has loads of confidence.
Yes.
He's versatile.
And he's got a little nasty in the summer league.
He's got a little edge.
Yeah.
You like to see he's got a little edge. I don't know how well he'll be able to shoot it. He'll probably be athletic, more athletic than people realize. But I just don't know if he starts at the G League. If you're the Bulls and you put him at the G League, doesn't it say a lot about your intentions this year? You are picking a lane if you're starting your first-round draft pick at the G League. You're saying that you're serious about being more competitive than a lot of people expect you to be.
Jalen Smith is going to be interesting to see. Just what is his role? How are they going to use? They do not have a rim protector. And even though he's a five, he's like 6'9", right?
He's a point center. if you had such a thing. In today's NBA, they got the stretch four, they got the point center. It's positionless basketball.
Vooch is not going to be
no
rim protector. I'm just wondering how that will work. And you're right. I mean, their defense is a mystery.
You wonder if it's going to resemble a lot of the old ABA games because it's going to be up and down the floor, people shooting threes, and just really a free for all. You don't want that to devolve into that, but really, who is going to be the interior defender that any team playing the Bulls fears? When they play teams with strong inside games, the Bulls are going to be no match for that. How are they going to rebound? who's going to rebound?
Yeah, these are good questions, and I'm afraid I don't have the answer to that. All right, we're going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We got a lot planned for today. Going to have a lot of fun. We'll be talking to Dan Wiederer next hour. We'll be talking to KC Johnson. And then, of course, we'll have our Bulls brass join
the Brain Trust.
The Brain Trust, yes.
We'll run our predictions by them, maybe.
Billy and the Boss and Breakfast. I think that's
Breakfast with Billy and the Boss. Is that a hashtag? It's a good plan.
Let's try that one.
Breakfast
let's
smells
see,
good.
See if that one plays.
Yeah. All right.
I wish there wasn't such a long line.
I know.
But I got coffee, and that's all that matters.
Where'd everybody go? They're eating.
Yeah, we lost our audience to demon food, as opposed to demon booze. They're all a problem. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
On the ground, this could do it. Anderson will walk it over to first, and history will have to wait. Because the Sox, with a comeback in the eighth inning, they get the 3-2 win and win the opener of this three-game series.
That felt good. I mean, yeah, obviously it's, I don't think everybody knows that, but, you know, first comeback win, this being this late in the season, it's hard to believe, but I'm glad we got it done tonight.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You hear the crowd booing in the background, you know, because they didn't get to see history. It's the only reason you turned up and you got rained on, and then your ticket's worthless.
You waited out an hour rain delay at least. You sit there till the ninth inning, and then you see the White Sox do something they hadn't done in 94 previous situations similar to that. They came back after trailing later than the seventh inning, and they got some help from Jack Lopez, who dropped a fly ball. They were out White Soxed last night. And
all you got was the flu. You got a little bit of touch of pneumonia.
So it happens tonight, maybe, or it happens tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So it happens tonight or tomorrow.
So want to correct myself. I said, because I think we were led to believe initially that Garrett Crochet was pitching tomorrow, but apparently Chris Flexen has been moved up.
Definitely lose.
That's
that.
Definitely that's guaranteeing a loss, right? Isn't he the guy that lost like 21 in a row or something?
Oh boy.
But yeah. Garrett Crochet will not pitch the final home game of the season. Why not?
Oh.
Why not? Why not give the fans something? Throw them a cookie.
What I mean, if he pitched, he'd only go like four innings.
I know, so but you're going to see him. It could be the last time you see him
ever
in a White Sox uniform.
Okay. That's fair.
The next time you see him, he'll be contending for a Cy Young Award somewhere else, like Chris Sale. All of the best White Sox pitchers come back in different uniforms.
Dylan Cease is going to make the playoffs, right?
Dylan Cease is in the playoffs. The Padres, did you see they clinched, I think, with a triple play walk-off? Who does that?
Yeah.
And that's crazy. They are one of the hottest teams in the second half. Dylan Cease is going to be in the playoffs along with Yu Darvish. What a rotation that will be. Carlos Rodon, he's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yankees. Chris Sale.
Is he okay? Is he healthy?
I think he's had a pretty good year.
Okay.
Michael Kopech is going to be the guy that saves Game 7.
No.
Or at least he gets the hold before Ohtani comes in and saves Game 7.
They're meeting with Ohtani today to make a decision on the next move with him in terms of the pitching element of it.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to be the guy that comes in after Kopech walks the bases and then he strikes out Soto and Judge to win a World Series.
Great baseball symmetry. That would be poetic.
Would that be beautiful?
Awesome.
Yeah.
And next year, Ohtani's going to be a 50-50-20 guy.
Oh, wow. 20 saves with 50.
No, 20 victories.
I know.
20
I'm
victories.
Just giving you a hard 50, time.
50
I knew what
stolen
you meant.
Bases, 50 home runs. Quick baseball note before we're going to switch to probably the Bears and Bulls. We got everybody coming in. David Ross is a name that you're going to start to hear more of now because I think there's going to be managerial openings. He got one in Chicago. I wonder if the Sox will even talk to David Ross.
They wouldn't pay David Ross.
Okay. Well, I think that you're going to hear his name. If no other reason, I'm going to bring it up. David Ross should be a manager next year if he wants to manage a major league team.
I think he'll wind up in Cincinnati.
Well, that's where I was going. The Cubs should maybe not fear, but David Ross, as a manager of the Reds, makes so much sense. Former Red, a guy who knows the division. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the division rivalry between David Ross and the Reds and the Cubs and the guy that replaced David Ross. That would be fantastic.
Dustin would have to change colors.
Fantastic.
It would be awesome theater.
Yes, it would. And you know what?
What would be better? Ross with the Reds or Ross with the White Sox?
Unfortunately, Dustino, I don't think even Rossi could win with the White Sox.
I don't think so either. He could win with the Reds. See, he's a good manager. He knows what it's like to play manage young talent team. He could win with the Reds.
I just think that when the White Sox say that they're not going to be investing in frontier free agents, probably wise, because you know what? None of those guys will still be under contract by the time they end up getting to a victory.
Well, that's why Chris gets saying that made little sense if he wanted to attract the top-tier manager.
Yeah, he's not.
What manager is going to come to a place where they're not going to spend money and understand what they're getting into? So they're more likely to go for the guy that Bruce mentioned, Clayton McCullough, or somebody like that of that ilk, than David Ross, who's going to demand top dollar and be a guy that can be a difference maker in Cincinnati.
We are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And a special thanks to the fine folks at Schmaltz Deli for providing breakfast for us and our listeners this morning. Check out Schmaltz Deli and Lyle, spreading deli goodness everywhere. And we will be back and we will be talking a little football maybe.
Yeah, we'll talk Bears. Yeah.
Okay. We also may talk some Bulls. We're going to be talking Bulls all day. Maybe we'll talk some Bears. I don't know what we're going to talk about. It's going to be so much fun. What a surprise. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Bears fans, Week 4 features return home to Soldier Field after back-to-back losses as the Bears take on the Rams. Can the offense finally come alive? Can the defense hold off Matt Stafford and company? Stay tuned to the score as we continue to get you ready for Bears-Rams right up to kickoff. And don't forget to listen Monday for a full day of Bears reaction on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, it's David Hoffer, FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 670 The Score. Yeah, well, enough about Week 3 already. NFL Week 4, it's here. And you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you can get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. It's a great deal. Build a quick same-game parlay for Thursday Night Football right around the corner. It's already Tuesday. This is in 2 days. Cowboys, Giants.